Feel like you're stumbling around in the dark when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Then I would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we go to God's Word for focus and direction. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is next. Join us. Hello. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, located at 8650 Benson Road. We would invite you to join us as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, refers us back to God's Word once again that we might find our grounding in Christ, our encouragement, and our strength to go on day by day in Him. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace today. I thought we would take up on this Thursday session of Abounding Grace an issue that is of real current importance in our day, an issue that has happened in the church, and really the focus still on the focus of preaching, what the design of ministry should be, because we've had an approach to ministry that has recently been taking on what people would think are very practical subjects, but really cross the line in many ways as to what is appropriate for gospel ministry and what the minister should be doing and the pastor should be doing every week when he stands up in front of God's people. And I begin today by something that I recently heard, that if you want to get an audience, something I heard going on in the current environment, the current Christian world. But let me start with this. If you want to get an audience, talk relationships. A healthy marriage is, as often suggested, the pathway to success, a life of bliss, and the mark of happiness. Oprah, Dr. Phil, and Dr. Laura have built their empires around addressing the subject. Who doesn't need help to improve their marriage, right? I mean, after all, it is thought relationships are the most relevant subject that anyone could address. I suppose it shouldn't be any surprise that the American church has latched on to the real potential for church growth here. Countless pastors get up on their stages, they dim the lights, and they begin with a scenario like this. And you can email me and tell me if I'm right on or way off, but my guess is right on. Good morning. Today we're going to talk about relationships, happiness in relationships. You having a bad marriage? Do you need to help recover the romance? Wives, are you tired? Have you lost your bearings? Husbands, are you wondering where all the fire went? All ears are attuned. Yes, 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 and yes, the listener thinks. So the pastor replies, well, I have good news for you. For the next 2 months, we're going to have a series on relationships. God has something in store for you. God has something really big for you. You just need to tap into His resource box. Then comes the bombshell. Today, says the minister, we're starting right at the issue that no one has been bold enough to address in the church, and that is sex. As the weeks go by, the church begins to fill up. You know, the message is spreading. There's actually a minister willing to address the subject of sex in church. Down at the coffee shop, the women are talking. I finally found a pastor who's discussing something relevant and practical. He speaks to me, and, well, ever since I started attending, I think my relationship with my husband's getting better. The other women begin to talk. Well, I'm missing this in my church. My pastor's just not reaching my family. Maybe I'll come over by you this week. And so it goes. The church must be doing something right, because since it started back in 2002, there's been an increase to over 2,000 people. Well, the above scenario is happening in countless churches across the U.S. and probably in Canada on a given Sunday. Popular pastors such as Mark Driscoll, Rob Bell, and others have frequented series on sex, pornography, and other subjects of this nature. At Daystar Church in Good Hope, Alabama, Pastor Jerry Lawson is having a month-long focus on sex in his sermons, and it's explicit. In fact, the church has recently constructed and raised a billboard throughout the county that it advertises the Sunday worship services with this new series that the pastor Lawson has started, Great Sex, God's Way. Citizens, interestingly and naturally, are confused. I mean, you can't even buy beer in Coleman County. And this Pastor Lawson seems to have license to promote his sex talk in the public arena and on billboards. One newspaper clipping an article quoted a local truck driver who spoke out against this and said, "Paul said preach the gospel. Talking about sex ain't going to get nobody to heaven." You know, this is a really, really important point. The truck driver is picking up on something that needs to be addressed. What makes pastors experts on these subjects? This is very important. When I studied to be a minister of the gospel, there were no classes on how to have better sex. I was trained for a specific purpose, and that purpose compels me not to deal with symptoms, but with the heart of all problems, namely our sin, and how a just God can be properly propitiated. When the power of Christ and Him crucified is preached, there's power made available to the hearer by the Spirit to put to death sin in his life. Now, does this mean that pastors should never address these subjects? Well, this is the point I want to make today. We address them insofar as the Word of God calls us to address them. Now, I've often heard, and I think this is absolutely right, that when you sort of bait and hook people like this with these great series and offer them as something relevant that isn't stuffy and isn't so religious and isn't so formal, and that we're finally getting to real relevance and real life and approaching things that are practical for people, you know, you're going to have to hold them with that stuff. You can't continue. Those series end. And if you don't have something exciting and up-to-date and current and edgy, you know, you're going to hit burnout at some point. Because you got to, the means you got them in, you've got to hold them by. And so that's why you're on an endless pursuit to be new and innovative and creative to just try to hold people. But you've held them in false pretenses and in false things. We address, of course, these subjects and these applications insofar as the Word of God calls us to address them. In other words, and I've always said this, our applications must arise from the text itself. Our applications arise from the text itself. You know, I'm always struck in the fact that when the Apostle Paul gave application in the book of Romans, he didn't present it as a to-do list. He didn't come and say, here are the 5 steps for this, and here are the 10 steps to have a happy marriage, and here's this, and here's this, and here's this. You just do this, you'll be happy. He didn't present Christianity as rules for living. No, he presented the gospel. He mined through often the doctrine of justification by faith. He expounded and gave us the truth, the doctrines of the faith, and then he would apply them generally so that you, the hearer, would take the applications and apply them yourself to your own life. You see, this is not what's happening in the above scenario. This is not what's happening in a lot of these sort of approaches to new studies and new sermon series. The applications are completely divorced from the Bible and have become manipulated by the pastor for his own causes. Pastors have to be very careful not to spoon-feed their congregation's application. The imperatives are what we do. The imperatives in the Bible are never given as a set of rules. The pastor has the obligation to preach the law and the gospel in such a way that the believer, now renewed in the mind, might set himself to apply these things to his own circumstance and setting. If this is not done, of course, numerous dangers arise. First, the people become too dependent on their pastor. This, I suspect, is a major, major part of the problem today. I've said this before, we really are in a sort of cult of personality. And today, most people enter church more tied to the man than the message. Second, if we're only giving people a series of to-do lists, we leave them powerless to fulfill them and under the law. These are very, very serious dangers. The Bible doesn't give us a series of to-do lists. The Bible gives us the good news of what Christ has done for us. And now in thankfulness, I will want to live a certain way because the gospel's life-changing. But you know, I can't help but seeing here in all these different approach to these sort of sermon series, these really radical sort of series that are supposed to be cutting edge and edgy, that there's sort of a transformationalist ideal that suggests that Christians are the only ones who have answers on these extreme subjects. Forgive me if I would rather listen to Dr. Laura than Pastor Lawson on these issues. At least with Dr. Laura, I know that her intentions are sincere and that she's trained to address the subject matter. When I see pastors redefining the entire focus of ministry to social causes instead of the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ to weary sinners, I really cannot find anything life-changing or sincere in the approach. It's exactly what Martin Lloyd-Jones calls a rape of the emotions. It panders to people's weakness and leaves them without the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit. This is not ministry, my friends. This is not our mandate. Finally, and I want to say this because this is a good place to end. You know, with that example at Daystar Church and all the citizens wondering, you know, you can't even buy beer in the county, why a pastor has a license to put up a billboard and address these subjects to such an extreme. Look at what happens to our witness. Think about this one, please. Isn't it sad to hear of the unbelieving citizens of Coleman County crying out because the church is not doing what it should be doing? What effect might Pastor Lawson have in his community if he were preaching Christ with conviction and power? This is a very serious call to all pastors, and I level it first at myself. I level it first at my ministry and my preaching. Stop all the silliness. This stuff is a mockery, and God will not be mocked. Fulfill your callings as pastors. Enough is enough. The trumpet is sounding. Preach Christ. Amen? Let me say it again. Preach this Christ.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com, find out a bit more about us, take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.